Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He's gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this little book of Habakkuk is three chapters, and we're going to try to look at all three of them. It began, as we heard this morning, with the prophet. This is the first thing in the book. The prophet accusing God of not listening to him. Not that any of us have ever had that feeling, right? He accuses God of ignoring his prayers, of allowing the world to be filled with violence and injustice. And I think the only way to summarize Habakkuk's feeling about the whole thing is disgust. You know, sort of after you watch the news. Well, I guess we don't watch news. After you look at your cell phone and see the latest video of the nonsense of our leadership. In response to this, response to Habakkuk saying, "You don't even care about how bad things are here," God says, "I'm going to raise up the Babylonians." You know, the worst people in the whole world. The most violent, evil, godless people in the world. And I'm sending them to your place to make things better. Well, Habakkuk says, that doesn't make much sense. Why would you send them when they're worse than us? And he thinks that not only is God ignoring him, maybe God is intentionally just trying to make him mad by doing something worse. So then Habakkuk says, "I'm going to take a stand on wait. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to wait. And I'm going to see what God has to say." So one of the things you need to learn about the Bible, and I know a lot of people don't read the Bible, don't believe in God, talk about the Bible, and it's very obvious they don't read the Bible. Because one of the things they have no awareness of is how many of the most important characters in the Bible argue and fight with God. Abraham argues with God. Jacob literally fights with God. And Job has the longest, sometimes it gets overwhelmingly long, longest book about constantly arguing with God. They're not the only ones, they're the primaries. We grow up in a faith tradition where arguing with God, questioning God, is not only normal, it's canonical. It's canonical. The Bible does not run away, nor does it offer easy, simple answers to our questions and our struggles. So as a distraught prophet takes his stand to watch for the Lord's response, he gets it. The Lord says, and you heard it, write on a tablet in big letters. So that's symbolic for those of you who are literalists. I'm going to take you out of the literal. It doesn't mean that's really what he wants to do. What it means is I want you to give a message that everyone can hear. That's really what it's. This is a clear message. And the clear message is this: God promises justice. It's coming, and he says, be patient. So many of you are old enough to remember, there used to be a Christian virtue called long-suffering. That's before we had instant pudding and fast food, and everything had to be quick. But in the old days, there was this idea that when you needed something from God, you had to wait for it. Frequently, generations. frequently a lifetime. But the promise was trustworthy. The promise is trustworthy. And here's what God promises. Justice. God promises that there will be judgment on the rich who abuse the poor. There will be judgment on the unrighteous and the violent, on those who are self-seeking, and on those who worship idols. Judgment is coming, says the Lord. And he says, and this is where the Hebrew, you need to understand the Hebrew, those who trust him and who are loyal and who are faithful will be saved. So faith is not just a cognitive thing, well, I believe God's going to do this. Faith is a trusting that engages in loyalty. And that's the ancient understanding. I'm not just coming up with this today. That's the ancient understanding. So God says, I will be your God. And then he says, and you will be my people. And both of them together. It's like the whole breathing in, breathing out. Both of them go together. And by becoming God's people in loyal trust, in faithful trust, we will be saved. And the vision concludes, the Lord's in his holy temple. Silence. Be silent. So if you say, I'm not really good at praying, good. Sit there with your mouth shut. God's in his temple. That's praying. And it's probably the best prayer you can offer. Now, what I found fascinating doing my research on Habakkuk is the oldest existing text was found in the 1930s. And when they dug it up, it was a commentary on Habakkuk, and it dates back to Jesus' day. So in Jesus' day, when Jewish readers of the Bible, when they read this book, what they said is, Babylon is Rome. They applied the text to their time. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Christian Bible, there's a book called the Book of Revelation where Rome is called Babylon. And when Peter wrote a letter, he called Rome Babylon. So they understood in their time that Babylon referred to Rome. Well, that's not the case anymore. For those of you who missed out on World War I, Italy's no longer a major power. All right, so Rome's not a power. So you want to know who Babylon is today? I'm going to tell you. It's China. It's China. Oh, yeah, it's Russia, too. Worst part of all, it's the United States of America. We are Babylon. Our nation is Babylon. And unfortunately, so is the institutional church. So now we have plenty of fodder to talk about how awful everyone else is. But let me explain to you the one place where Babylon exists that you have any influence on, your heart. That's the only Babylon you have any control over. Let me explain to you why I think the Jesus way is better than the non-Jesus way. We all saw the news, and Mr. Pelosi had an unfortunate, horrible event, and there's a hammer involved, and, you know. And so what the leaders of our country, the Democrats, have said is, this is caused by the Republicans, and this is why it will never get solved. What they need to say is, what are we doing, all of us together, to create this? How can we make this not happen? Now, America's a young country, but if you want to check out, go to Ireland and England and figure out who's doing wrong. And if you want something that goes back even farther, try Israel in the Middle East. Find out what the blame game has done in every other place in the world. Jesus did not preach the kingdom of God is near, point out the faults of everyone else. We must repent of the Babylon in our hearts, because that's the only place where salvation can occur, where we have input. My question for myself is, when I look at the strange ways of God, I'm not the only one in here praying for stuff that just doesn't go right. And I'm not the only one here who sometimes looks and says, if only I could explain to God why this is a bad idea, maybe he would do better. In facing the strange ways of God, am I willing to say, I am loyal and I trust you? That's the question we're confronted with. Habakkuk ends with a psalm. It's both a creed and a prayer. It's a creed in the sense of what it says about God, like we're going to do in a moment here. And it's also prayer about what he's expressing his gratitude and glorifying God. And it's focused on glorifying God. And it pledges obedient trust. So not only do I love God, but I love God enough to entrust myself to him and be obedient to him. And you and I are going to face a lot of, there's just a lot of stuff going on that there's no way out of. It's just because we have an aging population, and the whole world's aging population. There's just, it's not going to get better and better and better. For our kids, I'm glad they're not in the church right now, because this is horrible news. They're not going to grow into a world that's much better than the world we grow. Like, our world improved in a lot of ways. There's going to be a lot of struggles. There's a lot of darkness. But we, in the face of all of it, can continue to turn to God and say, I trust you. I trust you. And if Habakkuk didn't get an answer maybe to some of his questions, why is there evil in the world, we do have the answer. We do have an answer, and it's easy to forget it. Our answer is Jesus Christ in the cross. That's why I picked out that hymn. In the cross of Christ is the answer. When the Father raised Jesus from the dead, judgment came on the world. It's a judgment of abusive power, of violence, of injustice, of materialism, of worshiping the wrong gods. This is God's judgment. Healing will defeat every illness. Mercy will overcome every sin. Life will replace every death. And God's justice will reign in the hearts of all those who belong to him, and injustice will be cast away. Evil has lost to love. And that's why she cried. And for all of you who's wondering what's wrong with her, here's what's wrong with her. She understood what the Bible means. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? The Lord's in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. But if you are going to talk, let's talk what Paul said. Let's pray with Paul. Father, make us worthy of our calling. Make us worthy of our calling. Glorify the name of Jesus in each one of us. And let each one of us and all of us be glorified in Jesus by your grace. Amen.